morning, AJ Woodson. Good morning. How you doing, my brother? All right, AJ, I know you're there, right? Good morning.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I made the mistake of not hitting the button to just bring you on in, but that's all good, man. How are you today?
I'm great, my brother. How are you?
Oh, you know what? I saw you creeping out there on social media last night up until 11 o'clock. I was like, well, that's it for me, man. But we connected yesterday, and here we are in a new day. God bless us both, especially you, in such short notice with all transparency. I want to start out by saying congratulations to you on your new book. Now, we got our own thing, A Look at Hip Hop from the area code 914. So to start out, give us an overview of what inspired you to explore this specific aspect of hip-hop culture in Westchester, New York.
Well, thank you very much. First off, I got a newspaper called Black Westchester. We give you the news with the black point of view. We document everything that's going on, you know, that affects our community in the 914 area code. And I'm also a big hip-hop head, former rap artist, and I used to write for The Source and Vibe. So, you know, hip-hop's in my blood. It was the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. And, you know, everybody says, you know, they didn't cover my region enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know, when they did Yankee Stadium, down south was complaining they didn't get covered enough, and other people. And I'm like, yo, you know, when I heard that, I said, well, Jermaine Dupri and them, they should do them big events down there in Atlanta. So I figured as a writer, as a hip-hop head, it was my responsibility to document hip-hop in the 914 and celebrate the accomplishments and show the importance Westchester played in hip-hop. You know, early on, if you wasn't from one of the five boroughs, you wasn't considered real hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't really get the respect.
Right.
And the where I live, Mount Vernon, and two cities over, Yonkers, we border the Bronx.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So a lot of the early stuff that was going on in the Bronx was also hiccuping over here, too.
Absolutely.
And it shows all of that and the people involved and gives tribute to not only those that y'all know, like Brand New Beers, Pete Rock and CL Smooth, Heavy D and the Boys, The Lox, DMX, Mary J. Blige, et cetera, the early legends, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The hip-hop executives, the B-Boys, the graffiti artists. Hip-hop and fashion, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, that's, so I did my best to cram as much of that as possible into one book.
Okay.
And I named it after Heavy D song, We Got Our Own Thing,
yeah.
You know, A Look at Hip-Hop from the 914.
Okay, so you kind of almost answered my second question, and that, how does Westchester differ from the other regions? Unique contributions, you know, what artists do the 914 area code bring to the genre?
Well, there's hip-hop all through Westchester, but the three main, if you will, music meccas of Westchester, Mount Vernon, New York, Heavy D and the Boys, P-Rock and CL Smooth, Yonkers, DMX, Mary J. Blige, The Lox, and New Rochelle, Brand New Beats, Masters of Ceremony, Rough House Survivors, and on and on and on.
Okay. So now, could you share with us some of the stories or experiences from the local hip-hop artists that particularly resonated with you while researching for the book?
Well, first and foremost, I pay to this, the first one, some of the chapters in the beginning, I pay tribute to DMX. All that he did, I got quotes from a lot of people who knew him, you know, famous people and people just from the streets. And it's a big chapter on him. And the second chapter is a big chapter remembering Heavy D. You know, Heavy D was the first artist on Andre Harrell's Uptown Records. You know, he's responsible. Heavy D is responsible for Andre Harrell first hiring Sean Puff Daddy Combs, or calls himself Diddy in Love now. I can't keep up with all his different names.
Okay.
As an intern, and then within he got hired as an intern, and within before the end of the year, he was like the vice president of marketing or A&R or something. Like he moved up the ranks real quick, but has been responsible for him, has been responsible for the signing of other artists and helping working on other artists' albums, and he just did a lot for a lot of people. And you know, I pay tribute to him. In the chapter, I give you there's parts in here where I give you a lot like we talk about movies. You know, we have Lord Jamal in a lot of TV shows and movies. Heavy D had a lot of TV shows and movies. Mary J. Blige, DMX, and it breaks down all their movies, breaks down all their collaborations they've done with all the other artists, and breaks down the producers from here and the DJs from here. And I can just go on and on and on. It's just, I'm really excited about this book.
Okay, well, so am I. You know, I might sound redundant, but I'm going to say the question anyway. You know, in We Got Our Own Thing, are there any specific themes or messages that you aim to convey about the cultural impact of hip-hop in Westchester?
Well, I also mix in, because I'm a documentarian and I'm a hip-hop historian, but I also mix in a lot of history, actual history in there. Like, you know, back in the 1800s, Manhattan was the only borough, and there was a referendum to add Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens, Mount Vernon, and Yonkers. But they didn't have enough votes for Mount Vernon and Yonkers, so it was four boroughs. Then they took parts of Mount Vernon and parts of Yonkers and created a new borough called the Bronx. So parts of what the Bronx, everybody knows as the Bronx, the birthplace of hip-hop, were formerly parts of Mount Vernon, were formerly parts of Yonkers, were formerly parts of 914. So it culturally connects us to those places. And then Yonkers also, again, they were trying to make Yonkers the sixth borough, and they were going to extend the subway line into Getty Square into Yonkers. But the Yonkers mayor, this is later on in the 1800s, didn't want to do that. So it gives you all that kind of history, too. It tells stories of a lot of people didn't know DMX used to be a beatbox before he was a rapper. And he used to beatbox for a rapper named TQ, Top Quality, out of White Plains, who was the first rapper signed from White Plains. He ended up being signed to Paris Smith from EPMD's new label, PMD, on RCA Records. It tells those stories. It just tells a lot of the early stories of the regions and from some of the people that were there. And then I also have experts in the field like Kim Osorio, who was the first female editor-in-chief of The Source, Andre Leroy Davis, who used to do The Last Word in The Source and do the little cartoons of the rappers at the last on the last page of The Source. I got Uncle Ralph McDaniels from Video Music Box and Chuck from All Hip Hop and several others, and they're all talking about their favorite artists, their favorite videos, their favorite memories. Bobito from Stretch and Bobito, you know, talking about, they all talking about the 914 and how important Westchester is as a region for hip-hop.
That is hot. That is hot. How has your background and experiences in Westchester influenced your perspective as a black author in the realm of hip-hop literature?
Well, I also must say, so I was born in Mount Vernon. My parents moved me to Long Island. So from 7 to 14, I lived in Long Island. Then I came back to Mount Vernon for high school, and I ended up going back to Long Island after high school, and I got with a group called JVC Force in 1986, and we formed a group called JVC Force, and we put out the song Strong Island on B-Boy Records. And then, so I kind of like got dual citizenship from Long Island and from Westchester, but I've always been a hip-hop head, so it's just like all of that is in me. And as far as hip hop, one of the things that has taken me this far, that one of the lessons I learned that I carry now, when I started the newspaper for the region, you know, giving black people a voice in Westchester, something we didn't have, I didn't know what I was doing. So I took one of the lessons I learned in hip hop, sampling. I sampled from everything, the Amsterdam News and all the traditional newspapers and everything, and from our history, and I combined all that and to tell the stories of Westchester. Mm. This is my third book. The first book was telling the story of how Black Westchester got started. The second book was documenting the achievements of African American women in Westchester, Black women. Black Westchester celebrates Black women of Westchester, and this is the third book in a series of books of documenting Black life in Westchester.
Brother, I love the spirit in which you willed. You know, can you discuss the process of compiling and curating the content for your book and how you decided which stories and artists to feature?
Well, like I did when I started the women's book, some of these stories and interviews I had already in the newspaper. I covered them, like when the Locks opened the juice bar and the different accomplishments that they were doing that were current. We're going on our 10-year anniversary this year. So the last anything happened in the last 10 years, I'd already had in there. So I had my mind what I was going to do, the main artists, the things I wanted to do. And then the book took on a life of its own and went in all these different areas and started just kind of materializing into something way bigger than I originally started. And, I mean, I literally could do a part two because there's so much more that I fit as much as I can fit in 364 pages.
Wow.
Yeah, but there's so much more. It could probably be like another 200 pages. I didn't want to do a 500-page book. You know what I mean? But yeah, it could be so much more. But so that's why the second part of the title was A Look at Hip-Hop from the 914. It was never meant to be the official, complete catalog of everybody who ever did anything in Westchester, but just to give you a feel of you into hip-hop and you into black music, and there's, you'll read this book and there'll be stories you didn't know. There's stuff in here. There was a lot of stuff I learned. The players who actually lived here and moved here, like DST, who's now DXT, who did the record with Herbie Hancock in like 84 or something like that, or 82 or something. He lived in Mount Vernon. Mike C of the Fearless Four lives here now. And there were so many other legends who have been through here. JC from the Imperial JC, who was down with Kool Herc and the Herculoids. Kool Herc is the one who is credited for actually being the person who kind of birthed hip hop. One of his DJs moved to Yonkers and brought that whole culture here in the early 80s. You know what I'm saying? And had a whole movement here. And it tells all of those different stories and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, from...
And let me finish. At the end, I tried my best to give you a discography of every record that I ever could think of and could find that came from either artists from the 914 or at least one artist in a group, and the group was from the 914. And as I finished the book, I just learned that some of the members of the Force MCs that turned out to be the Force MDs later in Staten Island, some of them came from Westchester or have roots in Westchester too before they got on. So it's just like a lot. It's so much.
You know, you went right into the next question, which I'm going to say anyway, and because I think you answered it. It says, given the rich history of hip-hop both nationally and locally, what challenges did you face while narrowing down the focus of the area code 914 for your book? And it sounds like you answered that question already.
Well, one of the greatest challenges, you know, living here. Another great story. When I was in high school, DJ Eddie F was actually my DJ in a local crew in high school before he got with F. You know what I'm saying? And it tells you all those stories and my first rap partner, and it shows you how a lot of these people are connected. Pete Rock is Heavy D's younger brother. CL Smooth from Mount Vernon was actually born in Durachelle. Little Kim actually lived in Durachelle from the ages of 8 to like 12, and then her mother moved, sent her back to her father in Brooklyn. You know, just shit, everybody who ever spent time here or, you know, so the challenge was just like forgetting somebody or, you know, even after I finished, I start adding more people to it. And then I have the artist that's coming next. Grand Poopa has a son, Stunner Gang, that's really nice. Jadakiss has a son, Jay Wan, who's really nice. And some of the artists, you know, I don't really, a lot of people complain about the new days of hip-hop, the stuff out now, but the artists that I show you that are putting out music show you that hip-hop is still in good hands. There's some strong quality hip-hop coming from 914 now.
You mean to tell me we're not going trap and mumble rap?
I mean, I'm sure you have a level of that, but, you know, we got some good lyricists, some good artists, some good producers, some good DJs that are still carrying on the tradition, and I tried to highlight as many of them as possible.
Oh, that sounds great. As a black author, how do you navigate the representation of diversity within the Westchester hip-hop community, and why wasn't it important for you to highlight this diversity in your work?
My whole thing with all of my books and the books that are coming out, you know, and even putting the newspaper out was to document what's going on with black people in Westchester. You know, all of that. In the newspaper, we cover politics, we cover everybody. You know what I mean? And we become the voice of the voiceless. We fight for those who can't fight for themselves. And, you know, this gives me back to my hip-hop roots. And allows me to, you know, just express the hip-hop side of me that a lot of people didn't know. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if I answered your question. I'm not sure.
You know what? Yeah, but see, here's the interesting thing. As I ask a question, it just blends and flows right into the next question. and I'm like, oh, man, he's answering the question ahead of time. I didn't get a chance. And so what I'm deliberately doing is asking the question anyway. And so I think it's all good right now. You know, so how do you envision your book contributing to the broader conversation around hip-hop culture and its impact on local communities, especially in Westchester?
Well, the great thing about this particular book, unlike the first two books, you almost had to be from Westchester to truly appreciate the people that I'm talking about in the book. All the artists that I named and several others, you don't have to, like, be from Westchester or even from New York. Like, almost everybody knows Heavy D. Almost everybody knows, you know, the Lox. Almost everybody knows DMX. Everybody knows Mary J. Blige. But you could be from anywhere. I was looking on Amazon just actually before I was waiting to come on, and I just sold a couple of books in Paris through Amazon. You know, like, you could be from anywhere and just want to know the story and just hear the story. And it just furthers the conversation of the 50-year anniversary celebration of hip-hop. And you get to hear from a different region that you don't nearly hear from a lot. You get to explore the different stories and how they all weave and how all the artists work together and how they work with so many and all the people that they worked with and influenced as well. So, you know, I'm hoping everybody walks away from this book, one, enjoying the book, but two, walking away saying, oh, man, I didn't know that. Oh, man, I didn't know that. You know, and then if everybody learns something in addition to that, then I know I've done my job.
All right, now, with We Got Our Own Thing about to be released, and it is released already, What message or takeaway do you hope that readers, especially those passionate about hip-hop, will gain from the exploration of the 914 hip-hop scene?
And let me add, I also have quotes from DMC, from Run DMC, in the book, too, talking about working with P-Rock and CL Smooth. They did Down with the King. And DMC talks about how Pete Rock single-handedly restored their career. Like, they weren't dead, but they really wasn't active at the time. And that record put them back out. Working with Pete Rock, putting that Down with the King song back out, put them back on the road internationally, back on tour, back on the charts. And he explains all of that. But I say in the the description of the book at the end, after reading this book, my aim is for everybody to put some respect on the 914 when you think about hip hop. And that kind of sums it up.
Yeah, well, that sounds cool to me. I don't know. How we doing so far, man? Are you feeling, is this interview insightful enough for you?
Me? Oh, I'm amped. I'm amped. I wanna thank you for allowing me to tell my story on your airwaves, and hopefully some people within your airwaves will learn about the book, go buy the book, and for giving me the chance to promote the book. I don't know if you can tell, I'm just amped.
That's cool.
This is what I do. This is what I do. So yeah.
I love it. Now, could you discuss the journey of writing your first book and how it differed from your subsequent work?
Well, I've been a writer all my life, whether it was hip hop lyrics, whether it was poetry, whether it was the school newspaper. Writing has always been therapeutic for me. And then writing this newspaper, this monthly newspaper, and this website, I'm writing every day, telling the stories. But this, just combines everything that I've ever done, my hip-hop roots, my activism, it just combined all of that. And I always say to people, because one of the questions you usually get asked is for people that want to write a book, what advice would I give? I give the same advice that I was given. Just write. Don't worry about the format in the beginning. Don't worry about how it's going to start and how it's going to end. You can stare at a computer trying to get the beginning out. Just write. Whatever's in you, just write. You can always edit later. You can always take what you want from what you wrote and put it in. You can always put it in order later. But just when it's in your head, when you get through it, just write a little bit every day. Just keep writing. And as I was writing it, as I was going over it, and as I was doing research, I would find more and more stuff. And then I would find more and more stuff. And, all the people I know would be like, yo, do you know about so-and-so? And all these groups that I forgot about. And a couple of groups I didn't even know about. And I learned a lot while writing this. And I think I'm well-versed in what's going on out here. But I learned so much just writing it. And I'm hoping, it gives a proper tribute to the people that came from here.
Man, you are powerful, brother. You went right to my last question, but you know what? I got tricks up my sleeve. Can you discuss any upcoming projects and whether they continue to explore themes related to Westchester, New York City?
Well, as I said, I joked and said the dual citizenship from Long Island. All my Long Island hip hop, Strong Island hip hop heads have been getting on me because I have a record called Strong Island, which is kind of the reason why that region is called Strong Island, a word we got from Chuck D, and from Public Enemy. But he said Strong Island, where I got a wildin'. So, and we sampled that. And there will be a future book, either on our journey as JVC Force about the song Strong Island or about the region of Strong Island. I don't know how I'm doing this one yet, but it's in my head. I just had to get this book out. So there will be something on Long Island hip hop as well. Or it'll be titled Strong Island. It'll be about the record, about the group, and about the region.
You know, when we first initiated our conversation over the phone, just meeting, one of the things we talked about was Jack the Rapper's family affair and how we both were like down there in that circle. And I had an experience with meeting Heavy D, and, you know, I just like, you know, just was like, I was like Mr. Bugging out. Oh, Heavy D, man, come on, let me get a picture. And he was like, why? Who are you? Right? And that whole weekend, man, I just, he didn't say no. He said, just not now, but just not now. Ask me again. And I kept on the whole weekend asking him, right? And you know, I kind of got to know him a little bit, truth be told, because I was relentless, and I saw the sense of humor that he had, all around nice person. Right, and a practical joker as well, and eventually I did get that picture because I was relentless. And you know, for people outside of New York, what they see is just New York. They don't see Westchester, they don't see the Bronx, they don't see Brooklyn, they don't see Long Island. They just see New York City. And so with all of that being said, your last words to this interview, my brother, thank you so much. What are your last words?
Get the book. We got our own thing, A Look at Hip Hop from the 914. It's available on Amazon. And follow me. There's a Facebook page for the book you can find on Facebook. And follow me on all social media at Mr. AJ Woodson, MRAJWOODSON. And you can order the book directly from me and get an autographed copy. My brother, I want to thank you for allowing me to tell my story on your airwaves and promote the book. And thank you for all that you do. And Jersey, man, I got love for Jersey. There's so much going on. There's so much. I spent a lot of time at all the college stations out there. I think I've actually been to yours, too, either as an artist or I managed a bunch of artists as well. So, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I love what's going on in Newark with that 24 hours of peace. That is a beautiful thing. That mayor of Newark is doing great things, too. So I follow everything that's going on out there, man. And Jersey has such a rich hip-hop history, too. Like, so many legends and lyricists come from Jersey. There should be a book on Jersey because there's a lot of lyricists people don't even know. Like, they, you know, that were just underground or under the radar. They didn't really make it mainstream. Like Lakim Shabazz and all of them. Like, just shout to all of them. Shout to everybody from Jersey.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you talk about it, I want you to be about it. Support a black author, A.J. Woodson. We got our own thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
From the 914.
Peace and blessings to everybody. Happy New Year's.
All right. Happy New Year. Peace, my brother. And thank you so much.
No doubt. Thank you. Thank you, my brother.
You're welcome.
Peace.
Peace.
Feel the same.